big news. Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home. These are our best deals of the year. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Okay, go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Beyond the Numbers. As always, my name is Will, and this is Ben.
Yes, sir.
We are excited to bring you another episode where we will be covering week 6 of the NFL, starting off with Thursday night football. Let me be the first to say the Eagles are either going to shape up or get packed out. And sir, I don't know if you remember this, but I'd say a few episodes ago on our show, Beyond the Numbers, or Numbers and Beyond, I'm sorry, it's a little confusing. But Numbers and Beyond, I told you that we were not going to be talking about the same teams that we were talking about last year. Some of these underdog teams are going to start showing out on these high-ranked teams like the Eagles and the Chiefs and the Bills and the Ravens. And look at what's going on now. Eagles got blown out, sir.
They did. They got blown out in rather embarrassing fashion at that. This wasn't a closely contested game. This wasn't a game that looked like it was meant to be competitive. Honestly, the Giants just kind of blew my mind. I think, though, it really wasn't so much the Giants as a whole, it was Cam Scataboo. That man continues to be
epic.
Yes, such a dominant force. But let me be clear, Jackson Dart is not bad either. He got himself a passing touchdown, but he got himself a rushing touchdown. Sir, Scataboo ran 19 times, 98 yards, 3 touchdowns. Crazy. Jackson Dart said, hold on, I got you. 13 for 58 and a touchdown. They had 39 total carries on as a team for 172 yards and 4 touchdowns on the ground. The Eagles' rushing defense was abysmal. They did fine against Jackson Dart through the air. He had an average mediocre type of game. But on the ground, between him and Scataboo, oh my word.
All I'm going to say is, as I was watching that game, I saw exactly what was about to happen, and I'm so upset as a gambler that I didn't go ahead and put in Scataboo for those three. First two plays of the game, the Eagles thought they were on to something. They thought that that run game was going to be the key to their victory again.
Uh-huh.
All because Saquon got 30 yards with the first two plays. Broke out something crazy. No denying. But as soon as the Giants saw what they were planning to do, it was all wraps. There was nothing. There was nothing that the Eagles could do to even partially stop them. And then when you look at the game, I don't think that the Giants played all that great. I think that the Eagles really played that bad. Like, they did. The Giants ran basic plays. They didn't go crazy with anything. Like, Jackson Dart ran for what, 30 yards for a touchdown?
Sir, 30 yards. No. He had 58.
No, 30. I'm talking about his first touchdown. That first touchdown that he got.
Oh, okay.
20 yards. It was a 20-yard touchdown. He ran 20 yards for a touchdown on them. There's not one reason two rookies, two people straight out of the draft, are showing out on the reigning Super Bowl champs.
I'm just saying,
the Eagles
have
a problem.
They do. If they would have had the other rookie that they needed, Malik Nabers, they might would have not only won the way they did, but bigger. Frankly, Jackson Dart is doing exactly what he needs to do as a game manager, in a rookie's position, of course. And he's got a guy like Cam who is, it doesn't matter. He is indiscriminate. Whether it's his own teammates or the other team, he will smack you. He will go out of his way to purposely charge somebody when he had an open path ahead of him in the other direction. He just loves contact. That's what he seems to love the most. And whilst I'm here for it, I think that will be a problem for the longevity of the season, but I absolutely 110% love what I saw from him and from Jackson Dart. Jackson Dart is not scared to lead with the head either. He is a truly, he's a true anomaly when it comes to being a quarterback, because even for scramblers, not too many of them do that. Josh Allen's one of the few who doesn't mind putting a shoulder down. Jackson's not like him. He's not him. He's not the size guy. He is small, and he plays like just like Cam Scataboo. He's not that big. They play like they're big men, and they get it done.
Scataboo looks large out there to me. I don't know what it is. I know he's a little guy, but he looks large out there. Did you see the way he was trucking that defense?
Yes, and that's my whole thing. He'll take.
He made a all-star Pro Bowl linebacker look like a guppy.
Indeed.
He ran him over for 4 yards. He popped him for 4 yards backwards.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
And here's the thing. That's not just them. I was watching, even though Singletary and Tracy only got 7 snaps between them, I watched Singletary bust a run out there at the end. He lowered his head and did the same thing. Several of the guys for the Giants offense, they started doing it too. These guys, Scataboo and Jackson Dart, have changed the way that they play to the point that these guys all around them are like, you know what, if they can do it, I guess I can do it too. And Russell Wilson, I believe at one point, I might be wrong, but he kind of got some of that in him too, I feel like. And everybody around him, they're just like, yep, I guess this is what we're doing. They just lower the head and go. Honestly, I'm saying this, and I mean it. If they had Malik Nabers out there as a good, another true number one receiver out there, and they weren't relying on Wandell Robinson quite as heavily, I think we might be talking about a totally different team come midway in the season.
It would have got dark out there for the Eagles, most certainly, just because they didn't have anybody to throw to other than Wandell, really. So, yeah, we're gonna go ahead and say that the Eagles almost got packed out. And they did get packed out, but they would have got packed out even more.
It would have looked from ugly to truly, truly just abysmal.
All right, moving on into the next game. I want to talk about the Lions and the Chiefs. The Lions and the Chiefs is my main one for tomorrow or for this week. Okay. The Lions are a dominant force, and for some reason, the Chiefs are still slated to win this one. Why do you think that is, sir?
Well, if you want my personal opinion, it's because the betting lines that are put in place reflect what the Chiefs have been doing for several years now instead of what they're doing this year. You're going to take the team that went to the Super Bowl and has won many Super Bowls, even losing a few. You're going to generally take that team when they have the same quarterback and the same coach. You don't ever sleep on a Super Bowl winning team or a team that's coming in off of losing a Super Bowl. Those are teams that have a lot to do, a lot to prove. And, you know, while the Lions are really competitive, you got to take a look at the Chiefs' schedule comparatively to what the Lions have done this year. And I'm not knocking the Lions, but let me be clear. Their first game was against Green Bay, then they that was their only loss. Then they played the Bears, they played the Ravens, the Browns, and the Bengals. Unfortunately for the Lions, that doesn't technically mean just because they're 4-1 that they have played some of the best competition. Now, if we take a look at the Chiefs, they lost to the Chargers, they lost to the Eagles, they beat the Giants, they beat the Ravens, and then they lost to the Jaguars. They've faced competition three out of their five games. They have faced teams that are winning record teams right now. And they've lost However, losing close games in to better competitors, honestly, is more reflective of just the competition itself and the fact that they stayed in it, I think, compared to the Lions, who completely dominated most of their opponents. In fact, the only one that was even close when it comes to their wins was the game against the Ravens, which was 38-30. So, I, you know, 52-21, 34-10, 37-24. I'm not going to sit here and say that the Lions shouldn't be feared, but when you take a betting line against a team that is notoriously good for making a comeback, I could get why they picked the Chiefs. However, I do believe this is Detroit's game to lose. The Chiefs are going to try to steal it from them. Because right now, the Chiefs need to steal games. They're not winning them. They're not taking on, and they're not coming in, and they're not coming in as the favorite, in my opinion. They may be favored for the betting lines, but we all know that that can be a trap. So,
well, I'm going to agree with you. They love trying to trap you with the plus money. And I'm going to go ahead and say that that plus 120 right now on the Lions, perfect. That is perfect to take. Anything that you put on it will double up. So, but I don't know what it is. I love the Lions this year. I've loved the Lions for the last 2 years, if I'm being honest. They're bullies. They play bully ball out there, and it's just, I don't know what it is that keeps them from getting to that next level. But I think this year, with the teams that are actually succeeding, once they go up against the Lions, they're going to fall. So it doesn't make a difference. We're not talking about the Eagles. We're not talking about the Chiefs. Like, they go up against the Chiefs tomorrow, and I'm almost positive they will dub.
I agree. I don't see why they wouldn't.
So if we're putting this into perspective, the only other, you know, great teams right now are the Colts, the Jaguars. You know, you got the teams that are, you know, their record says that they're doing perfectly well. The Bills. But do you see any of those teams beating the Lions right now? I most certainly don't.
Honestly, I'm with you. Right now, the Lions might, well, actually, I could see the Niners doing it. I could possibly see the Bucks doing it. Maybe the Bills, depending on if they're having a good day or not.
I agree with right there is the Bucks. The Bucks what it takes to actually do something with them.
I don't think we can count the Niners out. I don't think we can count the Niners out because they have done something with nothing, and they have won when they've won consistently. The thing about the Niners,
but not up against a team like the Lions, though, sir. That's the difference. The Lions are one of one team right now in the NFL, in my opinion. In my opinion, they have exactly what it takes to take the Super Bowl champ, to be the Super Bowl champs. I mean. So I don't see anybody on the 49ers win streak that you could say, hey, if they beat them, they could definitely beat the Lions. You see what I'm saying?
Okay. Well, I definitely think the Bucks would be one of those teams, although they've slid lately. But, I mean, again, the Lions, like we've already said, they're a dominant team. They might just be the team to beat this year. As they've managed to stay more or less healthy, they've kept their core guys that they need to get the game won and kept them healthy. They've continued to use them in many different capacities. They have good receivers. They have good running backs, dominant running backs, let's be real, even somewhat dominant on the receiving end. Jared Goff has the perfect offense. His offensive line is stellar. His running backs are stellar. His receiving core, it has depth. They are very good. Jared Goff, really, I think sometimes he looks better because of the team around him. When you have the ability to hand the ball off to two different running backs who can easily break free for big runs, gets in the end zone on the goal line, whatever it may be, and you just don't know which way it's going to go, it becomes a little bit easier. He has great receivers, Jameson Williams. He's got, of course, Amon-Ra St. Brown. There's just no doubt in my mind that the Lions have the best offense in the league for the most part, and they have a defense that is more than capable of getting it done. Week one, as much as I'd love to see the Packers beat them, week one was definitely a fluke. It was getting used to everything. And Dan Campbell's done something really, really good in Detroit. I will admit, I didn't think his personality and the way he did things, his antics, were going to work. But, whew, that man has.
Boy, they overworked.
Do you know, though, that man is out there? I think he is in shape. Dan Campbell is in good shape, and he can go out there and do, I think, some of the same stuff them guys do. Like, he's not one of them, you know. You ain't going to see Andy Reid out there being able to hold a block or run a route or charge a quarterback. I think Dan Campbell could probably do those things. Like, that man is an example to his team and not just somebody that they sit there and they think, like, yeah, okay, you might have a brain. Like, he's got a brain and he's got the physique and he's got the image and he's got the attitude of the players. He's not the attitude of just the coach. He's got that same attitude of, like, I'm right here on the field with you, and you have no excuses. Like, this Dan Campbell, there's just something about him. He's got a fire under him, and honestly, so does Detroit because of him.
I agree, sir. Dan Campbell is a different type of coach and a coach that I believe will take the Lions very, very far as long as they keep up this pace.
I would be, as much as I'm a Packers fan, I would not be opposed to them getting a Super Bowl this year, even if that means going through Green Bay. I would not be opposed to them getting a Super Bowl. I think it's their fan base is not as – they're not terrible like the Vikings fan base. They're not terrible like the Bears fan base. Those two have some of the most annoying fan bases when it comes to the Packers.
You just cut out, sir.
Okay. Yeah. But what I was saying is that I wouldn't be opposed to it.
I'll take it. I'll take the Lions for the Super Bowl this year. Especially because all these other teams are actually being wet. All right. Moving on to the next game, sir.
Okay.
Which game is that?
I know we've already kind of started, you know, talking about some of these other teams. I want to talk, but before I get into this one, I want to preface again that yes, while I do believe that these two teams could, possibly beat the Lions, I still think that I agree with you that the Bucs are the team that could, and therefore I want to talk about the Bucs and the Niners who are playing this week. I want to say that it's going to be the Bucs, and I think it will. But the Niners have been very, very surprising this year, and I'm here for it. I'm very much here for it. I want to see what this game turns into. I don't really know what to say on what makes me think anything one specific way or another. They both have a 4-1 record. These guys are just. They're just vicious.
Completely agree. They have a nice core, a nice quarterback that can do exactly what you need him to do. Bucky Irving, while he is not over the top impressive as a running back, he does exactly what you need from a running back. He can catch, he can run. He can shoot the gap. He can make a play happen.
Indeed.
So I'm going to go ahead and give it to the Bucs as well, just because the 49ers, all of their wins have been by some luck this year. And I don't know how they've been pulling it out, but I don't think they're going to be able to do that up against a nice ranked team. And the Bucs are exactly that. So I'm going to go ahead and give it to the Bucs this time. But we're going to have to discuss the 49ers here soon, Because how have they been winning?
Well, there's something that you have to take into consideration here. Their defense is not good. Their defense is quite terrible.
Mm-hmm.
They don't score a lot of points, but there is something that they do really, really well. That is, they get yards. They are fifth in the league in yards per game, and they're fourth in time of possession. They are able to move the ball. They score just enough, and they get the job done. Now, they're going up against a not great defense, but a definite better team. Now, the Bucks are very close to them all around. And they definitely have outscored, you know, they're seventh in the league right now at 27 points per game. So this game likely, if it continues the trend, it will likely go to the Bucks just based off of the stats. But I will say, Mac Jones has had a very, very clean season so far, as has Baker Mayfield. And Mac Jones hasn't started every game. It's very much a telling story. I like what I see with both teams. I would just like to see I would like to see a little more from the Niners. If they do, if they can get it going, you might have yourself a different story on your hands in this game. It's all going to boil down to if Christian McCaffrey can get moving and he can start getting some touchdowns. Not through the air. Not that I'm saying it's a bad thing, because he's been very efficient with the catching. But if they can control the ball, keep time of possession, continue to get the yards that they get, and they can convert that into points, yeah, they're good.
Completely agree, sir. I'm going to say that the 49ers have something to them, but I have no clue what it is. You explained your part of it, but all of that still doesn't break down for me as to how they've been pulling these wins out. All of their wins have been lucky as all get out. So I'm a move on from that and say congratulations. Yeah. But we're gonna have to get in. I'm gonna have to get in a little bit more deep into how they keep on pulling these wins out.
Dude.
All right, and well, I'll say that our last game to talk about will be Monday night football, the Bears and the Commanders.
Indeed.
I love the Bears this year, sir. Caleb Williams has been showing different levels of talent. Roma Dunze has been his favorite target thus far, but I believe if he starts spreading the ball, it'll get even more dark for these teams. I love the Bears. Now, with the Commanders, they're real questionable right now. Everything's real floaty.
Yep.
So I'm going to go ahead and take the Bears for the W in this one. And I'm going to say I love to see the Bears this year. The Bears are an actual competitor. I don't think anything that they've gotten, these two wins that they've gotten, have been a fluke. They've been actually showing out in the two losses that they take that they've taken. Have not been bad losses, except for to the Lions, of course. But that's the Lions. How can we expect anything less?
Indeed. I agree with you in regards to this game. The Bears will probably beat the Commanders, I think, because the Commanders' defense is just absolutely soft, at least in regards to pass defense. So I'm with you on it. I agree with you. I don't anticipate this game going any other way. I think it'll be a good game, but I think in the end, Caleb Williams, Romo Dunze, DeAndre Swift, I think they're going to get the job done, and they're going to handle business, and they're going to do it well. I think the Commanders, unfortunately, are not going to have the year they had last year. Let's be clear, rookie quarterbacks have such good years these days because defenses just don't know what they're going to do. That's why a lot of rookies start falling off towards the end of the year and definitely into their second year. Because they're being learned. Their first year, they're being learned. And depending on how much they play and how things go early on and how the playbook evolves around them and for them, and if they stay healthy and depending on how many games they play, right, defenses start to learn. but you only play a certain amount of teams a year. You don't play every single team in the league. It's very hard to play every single team in the league and for a career. It isn't done that often. So at the end of the day, Caleb Williams will have, I think, a much better game than the Commanders. I think the Bears defense will have a good read on them. And I think it'll be a good game that'll wind up turning in favor probably later into the third, early into the fourth for the Bears. I think it'll stay in through the third quarter where it'll be competitive, and then the Bears will just finally just start tearing them up.
Completely agreed, sir. Well, you guys, that is really all we have for today. If you guys wanted a little quick parlay, three of the games that we talked about were the Buccaneers, the Chicago Bears, and the Detroit Lions. If you were to parlay all of those together, put 25 on it, payout would be $288. Nice little decent return. Like I said, we don't really have too much of a where there's a will, there's a way this week. I'm really calm on the games. I really just want to enjoy them for this week. So I have a nice touchdown parlay as well. David Njoku, he's a nice target for the Browns, and I think the Browns are going to keep it nice and close against the Steelers. Darren Waller, Tua loves him a tight end, and he did the same thing with Jelonu Smith last year. He's an instant target if he's open in the end zone. Tyquan Thornton, he's proved to be a threat. The Chiefs are going to make this competitive against the Lions. Even though the Lions will end up winning, Tyquan Thornton is definitely one of those that'll get into the end zone. Rashid Shaheed, I don't think I really need to say too much. He's a target for the Saints. He had an 87-yard catch for a touchdown last week. I'm thinking he's going to repeat it. Torrey Horton, another target. He's a lovely target in the zone for the Seahawks. And if you were to combine all five of those, $5 pays $6,000. You know how we do it. Where there's a will, there's a way. Sir, do you have anything else you want to add?
I do not, other than go Packers. We're going to get ourselves a dub this week.
All right. Well, you guys, with that being said, let's get back to the bread. Peace.